Michigan sports fans. This is the Michigan Sports Network.
Rise and shine, folks. Welcome back to X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network. Hour number two, 7 a.m. this morning. Great to have you right along with us. No matter who you are, where you are, or how you are listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 until 9. Dan, you got a little Wiz Khalifa here for the kids.
That's right. I love Wiz. I haven't really listened to much Wiz in the last 5 years, but his first few albums were great.
Yeah, were they even albums?
Okay, the mixtapes and then that album right there, which, gosh, I can't remember the name of it. I remember the album cover, but I cannot remember the name of that album.
What was this first one, Deal or No Deal? The first one that really hit, and then it was Kush and Orange Juice, maybe?
Yes, I can't, but, oh, was that, I can't remember that name of that album. Rolling Papers, maybe? Rolling Papers, something like that?
Jake will know. Jake down in the studio in Toledo. He's texting me right now. This has got to be Wiz Khalifa related. Rolling Papers. I told you would know. That's exactly what it was. Nice call there, Dan. Welcome back. That's Danica Hadlin. You can find him at Dan in the studio. Ryan Elke is there. You can find him at Ryan_Key. I'm Anthony Bellino at AC Bellino. And Jake running the board down there in the Glass City for us. You can find him at Woods on Air. Follow the show on Twitter at XB Mornings, on Facebook at X's and Bros. Good morning to all of our viewers on Comcast Channel 900 as well. Text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000, and call us via the Auto Value guest line 313-396-5527. Good morning, guys. God bless Jamie Samuelson and his family, taken way too early. Anthony, just when we get hyped up for the football to start, we get the Matthew Stafford news. I'm hoping this doesn't cause a downward spiral for the team. That one comes from Steve. You know what? I don't think that it will. I think it's just one. It's one case. It happened early enough that I don't think it's necessarily gonna hurt the team. He's been one of those guys who has been, you know, obviously as a franchise quarterback, he's been working out in the offseason with some of the guys. And there's one person you don't have to worry about, the playbook. Hopefully, Dave Burkett was able to answer some of those questions. We'll talk to him at 8:35 this morning from our earlier conversation today. Kyle Barlow, assistant coach at Ohio University. He was a graduate assistant under John Beilein at the University of Michigan. He'll hang out with us at 7:35. Lots to get to here in hour number two, I should say. So let's get you all caught up first with all the happenings across the world of sports. We'll do so right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
Speaking of COVID-19, Eagles head coach Doug Peterson has tested positive for COVID-19. Jaguars have placed their quarterback Gardner Minshew and four others on the reserve COVID-19 list. So Gardner Minshew, not necessarily a huge name like Matthew Stafford, but a pretty big name. You know, kind of swept the NFL. Lions wide receiver Geronimo Allison has also opted out of the season. That was one of the guys I was really looking forward to on game day. Hopefully he'd catch a touchdown pass so I could just yell, Geronimo! But it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to do that, as the 26-year-old is deciding to opt out this season. Rams Sean McVay is more optimistic the NFL can proceed amongst the coronavirus pandemic. He feels good. On Sunday during a video conference call with reporters, the LA Rams coach said, quote, "I feel a lot better now, having a little bit more knowledge and understanding. It's really about risk mitigation and keeping our ecosystem clear." It's kind of a strange way, but he previously doubted the logistics and, the guidelines that were put forth. And this is really hard for me to understand all of this. I don't want to be, I don't get it. I really don't, is what he had said earlier, but now all of a sudden we can social distance. We're still going to play football. I think that there's a better understanding of how we apply those risk mitigation practices. I made the comment about social distancing. We're not going to do that on the field, but in those meeting settings, when you can do that and you're wearing a mask, those are the times that we're going to do that. So, I mean, the question then becomes, you're throwing the ball around, you're breathing on somebody, you're tackling somebody. Do you transfer it? A Magic forward, Jonathan Isaac, tore the ACL in his left knee. He did this yesterday. Drove the lane, did a hop step between two defenders, and it gave out. It untouched. He went down, clutched his left knee, and Isaac had his head in his hands. He was wheeled off the floor. It was his second game back since he hyperextended his left knee back on January 1st against the Washington Wizards. He missed 31 games because of the injury. And this is a big story because there was a lot of flack. I like Taylor Rooks a lot. I think she does a good job. But Jonathan Isaac was one of the individuals who decided to stand for the national anthem, and it became a big deal. And Taylor actually asked him, like, do you think Black Lives Matter? Jonathan Isaac is a black man. And there was a time when you would never see the national anthem on television. That was a time to go to commercial break because it's a free 90 seconds where nobody's doing anything. Maybe it's 90 seconds. Sometimes it's longer. If you get Anthem Watch, you know, we always kind of keep track of how long the anthem goes. You'd be a surprised when there's an anthem singer or somebody performing the national anthem, how much detail goes into how long are they going to take. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's something that is very, very, from a game day presentation, that, you know, if you have it scheduled for 90 seconds and it takes, you know, a minute 45, you're going to be in some trouble. You are going to have to blow through your starting lineups. Like, you're going to have to read real fast. It's going to cause chaos. You know, games on national television, you got to get that tip off at exactly the right time. And it's not, you know, TV has the luxury where they can do a slide if they'd like. So sometimes coming back from commercial breaks, let's say, for instance, you're watching Big Monday on ESPN and it's a 9 o'clock tip off and Michigan's taking on, I don't know, Illinois, and they go to a commercial break. They're scheduled to come back at a specific time. Maybe the timeouts are 3 minutes long. Well, ESPN can actually tell our timeout coordinator at the table, hey, we're going to go with a 10-second slide. So we'll have an extra 10 seconds of promo or commercial when they come back to the game before the game actually starts up again. That's usually the time where they fill in graphics or, you know, talk about like some sort of storyline that's happening in the game. But it gets pretty in-depth and involved. And the fact that we have to go through the National Anthem Watch every sport right now, look, I'm one of those people that says, look, if you're tired of hearing about it, if you're tired of looking at it, like, imagine what it feels like to be on the other side of the fence where, you know, you're tired of, you know, being treated differently. So I try to keep that all in perspective. But, you know, when he tore his ACL, I got on Twitter, and Twitter's a cesspool. It truly is, like, the worst of the worst people. And there was a lot of that's what you get, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And it's terrible, man. The young man's trying to make a living, living out his dream, and, you know, now he's got to go down with an ACL. The Mavericks clinched a playoff spot yesterday with a Grizzlies loss. However, they lost themselves. The three-year drought was snapped by the Dallas Mavs. Kristaps went for 30. Young Luka Doncic went for 40. And they still lost 117-115 to the Phoenix Suns. If they're stuck in the seventh spot against the Clippers, like, you're gonna look at a team that is not yet ready to take the next step. They've got some nice young pieces, but they're not ready. How about the Mets' Yoenis Cespedes? Did you hear about this? He's opting out of the 2020 season. The Mets couldn't find the guy. Cespedes went AWOL. He went AWOL. He did not report.
Was it AWOL, though?
They didn't know where he was at. He was
okay,
supposed to show up. Nobody
knew.
I'm
pretty sure he had told his agent, hey, let the team know I'm not showing up.
No, he Irish goodbye the season. That's all he did. He just kind of was just like, all right, you're all going to the game. I'm getting out of here. Like, he found his opportunity and took it,
I guess. And the Mets said he did not reach out to management with any explanation of the absence. Our attempts to contact him have been unsuccessful. They went to his room. His bags, like, it was empty. Bags were packed. He was gone. He went AWOL. Just disappeared. Aaron Judge is the first Yankee in 13 years to hit a home run in five consecutive games. Every time I see Aaron Judge, all I can think about is Steven Moya.
I still want to go back to Cespedes.
Yeah, back to Cespedes' family.
No, I felt like for a moment we were going to get the Dennis Rodman of our era of, like, all right, where did Cespedes go? Did he go to Vegas on some excursion? Are we going to have, like, a nice search and we just find him just gambling or something? Instead, he's just like, yeah, I'm done.
One of the great parts about that Jordan documentary was the fact that Dennis Rodman went to Vegas. Just, he needed a break. Scottie Pippen was gone, and Rodman needed a break. And then he gets on a Harley after drinking and gets into police escort. Like, that, if that happened today, the world would wig out. And the Tigers, Tyler Alexander tied the AL mark for strikeouts in a row with 9, MLB record with 10 total in the ballgame. Yesterday, he was fantastic in the 4-3 loss to Cincinnati in the opener of the doubleheader. That's what we have for the headlines. We're going to step aside. When we return, what in the world is the Pac-12 doing? We'll get into that next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddie's Foundation at #PopTheTap. at freddythepizzaman.com. That's F-R-E-D-I, thepizzaman.com. Or email freddythepizzaman@gmail.com.
These days, we all agree we need to stay safe, and your local Auto Value Parts stores want to help. That's why we now offer same-day curbside pickup on thousands of in-stock parts. All you need to do is place your order at myautovaluestore.com. That's myautovaluestore.com. Then call the store when you arrive, and one of our team members will bring the order right out to your vehicle. It's that easy. Shop local. Shop Michigan-based Auto Value and support your friends and neighbors. Auto Value. Service is the difference. We get it.
Bill Simonson here for the sports medicine team at Metro Health University of Michigan Health. Now, they serve the entire state, and they offer up some of the best sports physicians, physical therapists, access to some of the best surgeons, and also a training staff that covers every sport, high school, youth, college, and pro. You can go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. If you or a child of yours has suffered an injury and you want to get back to playing or maybe going out for that nightly jog, they can help. Or maybe your child wants to return to that game they love to play. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. From youth to high school to college to semi-pro and pro sports, they are the leaders when it comes to dealing with sports injuries. Find out more. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. That's metrohealth.net.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network. Text the keyword sports radio to 21,000, sports radio to 21,000. Auto Value guest line 313-396-5527. And of course, you can find us on Twitter as well at XB Mornings. Great to have you with us. Danny Cahalan, Ryan Elke in the studio. I'm Anthony Bellino. And I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday, but in the Players Tribune, the Pac-12 athletes and football players, I should say, not all athletes, football players, sent a list of demands in a letter to the conference. And they penned this letter in the Players Tribune, threatening to opt out of fall camp and game participation unless their demands for fair treatment, safety regulations, and concerns over racial injustice for college athletes are met by the conference. I'm very interested in this because there is a... How do you look at this list from the players? And following players have identified themselves as being amongst those who have threatened to opt out. Trajan Butler, Jake Curran, Valentino. I mean, there's a ton of names on here, that a lot of cornerbacks, defensive linemen, wide receiver, linebacker, offensive line. Haven't seen a quarterback come out and say anything. I don't see any running backs on this list. But the demands are, some of them are legit. And some of them are, like, outrageous. And it makes you think, like, okay, it's not outrageous to say it, but it is outrageous to think that somehow the conference is going to be able to meet this list of demands. And one of the things I don't understand about this is, in if you are a Pac-12 athlete and you're going to do this, and you want to, you know, I wanted people to read it. I posted this on my Twitter, and I'll retweet it right now at AC Bellino, because I wanted you to think about it as if you are the player, as if you are the parent of a player, or if you're just a fan. And I am one of the people that believes college athletics, there is a payment for playing college athletics. And that payment is, you know, the books, tuition, room and board. Like, that's what it is. That's old Bo Schembechler. Or no, tuition, books, room and board, or whatever he used to say, as far as what they can offer a student athlete for coming to university. Because NCAA sports exploit college athletes physically, economically, and academically, and also disproportionately harm black college athletes. That's what the statement says. What I'm trying to figure out is how on earth allowing somebody to get, I don't know, somewhere between, I would say, $20,000 roughly in the minimum range, up to, you know, who knows how much the cost of tuition is at whatever school you want to attend. I don't know what Michigan State is off the top of my head, but I can guarantee it's probably not $20,000 a year, especially if you're out of state. In rejecting the NCAA's claim that Black Lives Matter while also systematically exploiting black athletes nationwide, is what it says. Because we're asked to play college sports in a pandemic in a system without enforced health and safety standards and without transparency about COVID cases on our teams, the risk to ourselves, our families, and our communities. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But the portion before that, in rejecting the NCAA's claim that Black Lives Matter while also systematically exploiting black athletes nationwide. Guys, this doesn't just apply to black athletes. It applies to all athletes. It applies to white athletes. It applies to Latino athletes. It applies to Asian athletes. And every other athlete of any race, color, or creed that goes to colleges is what you think is the exploitation of. It is my opinion, because I am, I don't know, a traditionalist maybe in this matter, that we have professional leagues. We do. They're called the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, the Premier Lacrosse League, or whatever that thing is called. Football is the engine that drives the athletic department's vehicle. That's what it is. The way that athletic departments are set up, it doesn't make sense. Like, how would you pay one team and not pay the rest? Because now you're in violation of Title IX. Because if we're just going specifically based on sports that generate actual income to the school, you're going to have football and you're going to have men's basketball. And that's going to be it. At select schools, you might have like UConn's women's basketball program. Brings in, I'm sure, a very nice check. And I appreciate these guys trying to come up with some sort of like union. But you're not employees of the school. You are given an offer to attend a university with your expenses paid, your tuition is paid, your books are paid for, a lot of your meals are paid for, and you don't want to live in a dorm on campus, so you're given a stipend check to live off campus. Okay, well, that's always been something that I've looked at. Like if you are a student athlete and you are worried about, hey, my stipend check might not be enough, like, why wouldn't you just live on campus? Like, it's small, quote unquote, sacrifice. But if it's covered, why wouldn't you do it? And I don't know, man. I don't want to sound like a boomer here. It seems to be the new term on the internet, but maybe I am. Because unjust rules prevent the 98% of college football and basketball players who won't go pro from capitalizing economically on what would otherwise be the most valuable years of our lives, including many black players from low-income homes. Okay, I kind of look at that, and I say, well, they do, you know, that's a good point. A lot of them will not be able to capitalize on their athletic career, and this would be a very good opportunity to do so economically, so how would we do that? The very next statement, because eliminating lavish salaries and facility expenditures to preserve all sports must be prioritized. Eliminating lavish salaries and facility expenditures to preserve all sports. So you don't want the world-class weight room? You don't want the locker room that Clemson continuously has on television? Or what Texas just put in? Or what LSU just put in? Because of the money garnered from the success of their programs? Because they can pay top dollar for a coach. That's why the Pac-12 isn't representing the college football playoff. Because you got to have the money to pay for the best coach. The best coaches are the best recruiters that put the most talent on the team that get those guys to perform at levels that make them competitive across the country at the highest level. So you got to pay the best coaches to be able to recruit. You got to have this fancy facility Because Lord knows a standard weight room isn't going to cut it for today's athlete. It's just not. Like, look at the world we live in. We are keeping up with the Joneses. It's like the Cuban Missile Crisis, right? It's like an arms race of who has the best facility. You have the best facility to offer. You have a weight room and a locker room that looks attractive to a young person. Look at state-of-the-art equipment. We have this. We have that. We paid top dollar to this coach who's a really good recruiter. How are you going to get rid of those expenditures? Like, that's part of the game. Like, the reason coaches are paid as much as they are is not just for the responsibilities that they perform on the football field. Who do you call when you get in trouble? Who do you call when you need something? Whose office do you walk into to say, hey, I got stuff going on in my life. I need guidance. College coaches are worth every nickel. Every good one is. Because they are a coach. They are a mentor. They are a friend. They are a father. They are an uncle. They are all of these things. And they have to be on call 24/7. Like Pac-12 players, football players, I understand what you're saying, but why do you want to cut your own legs off? And, hey, here's a really good idea from the teams. Guess what? You're not forced to play here. The offer is this. Tuition, books, room and board, stipend check on the side. If we do the name, image, and likeness and you want to do that, that's fine. But we can't take away from our athletic budget to pay X amount of dollars to every football player, because then how do we pay volleyball? How do we pay women's basketball? What kind of lawsuit does that bring to us now in the Title IX realm? Like, this is a disaster. So if you don't want to play, there's the door. Go ahead and walk. You're not going to get this in the SEC, so good luck.
Swinging for the fences.
Swinging for the fences,
that's
man.
All they're doing. In reality, they probably just want the health and safety risk, but if they knew if they just asked for that, it'd be a fight. So it's like, all right, let's ask for $150 million as well.
The get is never bigger than the ask, right? Is that what they tell you in sales? Something like that. I don't understand. And maybe we'll get into the poll question on the college sports side. We'll step aside when we return. We'll talk to Kyle Barlow on the other side. This is X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for my good friend Mark Ewell. He's the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. And during this COVID-19 pandemic, they've been trying to find the balance between safety and the return to play for high school athletes throughout Michigan. You can get the latest news from their Lansing office at MHSAA on Twitter, MHSAA on Facebook, and online at MHSAA.com. They are currently formulating plans for the fall, spring, and the entire upcoming school year when it comes to high school sports, including summer trainings and workouts that could lead into scrimmages and practices beginning for fall sports. So again, go to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, MHSAA on Facebook to get the latest on COVID-19 and its impact on the return of high school sports in Michigan.
Quiet strength. It is informational and pragmatic. It is compassionate, determined, relentless, and giving. Quiet strength comes from the heart, and it also comes from the brain. Wanting to do the right thing is noble, but discovering how to do the right thing is impactful and lasting. The rehabilitation of traumatic brain injury is what we do at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor. The knowledge, the expertise, the innovation, they come from the brain. Dedicating our lives to the lives of those affected by TBI is also what we do at the Eisenhower Center. The compassion, the respect, the concern, they come from the heart. Our goal is to share our quiet strength with you.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen and Ryan Elke in the studio. I'm Anthony Bellino in the radio bunker, and joining us on the horn as he does every Monday mornings is the assistant coach of the Ohio University Bobcats. It is GA years under John Beilein there at the University of Michigan. It is Kyle Barlow. Coach Barlow, as always, my friend, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us today. How are you?
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm doing great, man. Coming off a great weekend. I do want to just say in remembrance for I think all of our friends, Jamie Samuelson, you know, really, really good dude, genuinely good dude. Enjoyed listening to him, knew him back all the way to his RIP days. So very sad news up in Michigan for the sports broadcasting world, but wanted to at least shout him out.
You know, and touching on this, I think that what may be most important about Jamie Samuelson in the mark that he left on people was reading the outpouring of support in the outpouring and the stories that people wanted to share, and all of them had the same theme. It felt like every person that he came in contact with, they were better off because of it. And it felt as if, you know, everybody just coming out to share a story or share, some sort of run-in that they had with him in the positivity surrounding him. And I think that, you know, even passing away at the young age of 48, so much more life for him to live. But, you know, when you leave this earth, you hope that people have good things to say about you. And that's what really stuck with me about Jamie, was the fact that everyone had positive things to say about him because he was just that kind of guy. And even though he had a high profile job and he was well known throughout the city and throughout the entire state of Michigan, he was always just a humble and just a regular guy. And that's one of those things I think that being in the media, you grow to appreciate more of, just trying to keep that even keel like he always did.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I agree with everything you said. And it's just, you know, I mean, it's one of those things that it's hard to express in words, but, you know, gone too soon, but definitely will be remembered.
You know, Kyle, tough to transition from that to this, but on the sports landscape of things, it felt like we have a little bit of normalcy. It does kind of feel like it's coming back. Major League Baseball in almost full swing because, you know, the postponements and some of the issues that they're having on the COVID side. But the NHL is back. It picked things up on Saturday and it was just fabulous. The NBA beginning on Thursday night, they're back in action. Man, it feels like, hey, it almost feels like June was supposed to feel.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was, it was fun watching some basketball this weekend. I will say that, you know, Major League Baseball has been back. How about them Tigers, by the way, huh? What is going on with the Motown Kitties, baby? They're looking good. Bullpen is just on straight lockdown now. Are you buying or selling the Tigers bullpen? Not even the Tigers. Sorry, I know you asked about NBA, but had to mention the Tigers, man. Are you buying or selling the Tigers bullpen?
Well, I was all in on the buy, and then today happened, and the bullpen blows an incredible, incredible outing from Tyler Alexander, who, you know, he struck out his first 9 batters in relief and set an MLB record with 10 Ks in relief. So that was awesome. The bullpen blows it. And then in game 2 of the doubleheader, the Tigers couldn't manufacture any offense at all. Prior to yesterday, I was all in on the bullpen. As of yesterday, I'll go 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and I'll be doing the hokey pokey.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Now, Tigers were making a run. Are you one of those baseball purists or 7 innings shouldn't count as a game at the 9-inning game? You know, because they did go to the doubleheader for the first time ever, right? The 7-game doubleheader for the first time in the history of Major League Baseball.
Yep, and it's one of the greatest rules the sport has ever seen. You know, the MLB doesn't run a lot of doubleheaders anymore because, you know, the idea is that you could stack 2 games on top of each other if you needed to. For instance, like what happened this past weekend, travel schedules didn't match up. Okay, you miss out on Saturday, play 2 on Sunday. From an employment standpoint, as someone who has worked in baseball for many years, I absolutely love the 7-inning doubleheader. I think it's fantastic. You're not trying to be there all day. A real game can be played in 7 innings. It's only 2 innings shy of 9. Who came up with 9 anyways? Everybody just relax. I'm fine with it. It makes the, you know, and to be honest with you, 7 innings, you know, if we took this back into the 50s, 60s, and 70s, how many complete games would we see? We wouldn't even be talking about bullpens because guys would just throw the 7 innings and call it a day.
Yeah. No, and the one positive thing as far as baseball goes, that maybe hopefully we can learn or take from this pandemic is, one, you can do a seven-inning doubleheader. Two, you can do a back-to-back doubleheader. Remember when they used to do that? Like, it's very rare now that you see a 1 p.m., 4 p.m. doubleheader in Major League Baseball, right? Because, you know, you do, if you do have a doubleheader, you know, which is rare in its own sense, you do the 1 p.m., 7 p.m. because you want to clear out the park, bring everybody in whose tickets were good for the next game. So you're double dipping on a day. But, you know, back in the day, I'm sure it was going to be, yeah, let's go to Briggs Stadium on the corner, baby. Let's go to Briggs Stadium on the corner. Trumbull, on the corner of Trumbull. And let's go watch the Tigers for a buck, play two games against the Yankees, man. Like, I hope that Major League Baseball can kind of realize that and then go with it. You know, you saw the Tigers game switched on Saturday, right, from 6 p.m. to 1 p.m. Because of inclement weather. So it's like another thing that they never would have done had they have sold, you know, 20,000 tickets.
Yeah, and you know what? When it comes to, you know, trying to, I don't think baseball will ever figure it out. I truly don't. And you know, they you know, screw around with the game time. They end up with a postponement, so then they end up, you know, playing the two the next day. And I guess, you know, it's at some point, like, MLB has to figure it out, because right now they still have blackout restrictions on games, and it's like, put as many games out on TV as you can. Who cares what network it's on? You know, but they're in a shortened season like this. You know, when you have the NFL and the NBA, they love the fact that, you know, fans will get video clips of games and put them out. MLB puts the clamps on you, and your Twitter account can get suspended because they want to control all the media. That's just not the way the world works. You know, if I see a highlight or something I think is important, I want to record it off my TV and post it to Twitter with a thought or whatever. You should be able to have the freedom to do that. And MLB is so stingy, or has been so stingy in the past about that. I think they got to keep up with the times. I wish that they would offer more opportunities for fans when it comes to, you know, the price points on tickets, the availability on tickets, as far as, and obviously, you know, right now it doesn't matter anyways. But just the idea that they would be more accessible to the fans. I feel like they're really missing out on an opportunity that they could be capitalizing, and the NHL and NBA come back and it's like, well, I'm going to watch that.
Well, I think you hit on a great point, a couple of them, but it's like the media content in general, right? Your sport struggles with popularity among the younger generation as it is. Is that an accurate statement?
I would say baseball? Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So why wouldn't you want YouTube, like me and my buddy, or on Twitter, why wouldn't you want those clips on Twitter? Me and one of my friends back in Michigan, we always do the hose alert. So our favorite thing, which, by the way, Mookie Betts, right, for the Dodgers, right field?
Yep.
That's I'm not, because there's a couple Mookies. But Mookie Betts, you know, I don't know if you saw it, SportsCenter number one. Gets a guy trying to dig out a triple. A guy punches it to the corner. He jogs over there, speeds up when he sees he's rounding second, turns and just wheels a no-hopper right to the bag to get him. Did you see that clip?
I did see that clip, and it was like, how bad would your arm hurt a regular civilian trying to make that throw? Like, that guy has an absolute cannon. In the fact that it was anywhere near the bag from that distance, right field to third base, like he just turned and hurled. It looked like the ball was shot out of a cannon.
So one of the most exciting plays, in my opinion, in baseball, and my buddy, so we always do a hose alert. We send it to each other, like, if we see it on SportsCenter, if, you know, we see it live or whatever. But to my point, to your point about the content, it's hard to find, like, these once you see it on TV or you see it on SportsCenter, you can't find it anywhere. You can't find it on Twitter. You can't find it on YouTube. You know, that sort of stuff that can circle among, you know, group chats and everything and get everybody excited about Mookie Betts, you know, a young generation player. Like, you know, I was looking for the other day, the Ichiro run one. Do you remember the Ichiro one by any chance?
I do, and that was the comparison that they made. It was like, wow, it's the return.
Yeah. It was stupid. It was dang near the same play. Ichiro actually put it on the bag, and Mookie put it 2 feet. Now we're nitpicking because he threw that ball, what, 330 feet?
Yeah, what are you, Tom Emanski? Like, what are you, Fred McGriff? Like, come on, you got to throw it in a garbage can? Like, what is the matter with you?
Back-to-back AAU national champion Fred McGriff into the garbage can. Anyway, he put it about 2 feet off the bag, but Ichiro was right on the bag. But try and find that clip. I'm telling you, man, it's hard. It's hard to find that. Try and find the clip. One of my favorite things I was watching right when I got started loving baseball in high school, Vladimir Guerrero threw out Mo Pena, I believe. No, Mo Vaughn. He threw out Mo Vaughn at first base. Mo Vaughn hit a sharp one-hopper in the old Montreal Expo, so it was a dome. you know, they had the AstroTurf. Mm-hmm. Sharp one Hopper to Vlad Guerrero and Wright, and he threw him out at first. One of my favorite things, because I remember watching it live. I don't know why I was watching it that day, but I got so excited. And now, like, it's hard to find that clip, man. Like, to your point, like, don't we want to generate excitement? You know, the NBA's out there. They're retweeting fans who are, you know, ripping video off NBA TV or ESPN. You know, they don't care.
It's all about the growth of the game, and you want people talking about your sport. You want people engaged in your sport. You know, you look at the National Basketball Association in the off season, and it's almost like, you know, some people, and I'll go with a lot of women, like to watch shows like Keeping Up with the Kardashians or whatever. What does your wife watch? Like Real Housewives?
Well, 90 Day Fiancé is a Sunday night tradition in the Barlow household.
Okay, so 90 Day Fiancé, right? I have 90 Day off season is what I have. And it's like the drama, the player to player, front office to player, media to front office. Like the whole thing is a soap opera, but it's real life with real, real consequences and real people and real action. And that's something that I really enjoy about the NBA. But the amount of people that talk about it, I think it's important. And it's important for people to realize that in order to grow your game, you have to be willing, to do things like that. And MLB to me just seems like they have fallen behind when it comes to social media.
Yes, I agree. Can I ask you, since you brought up the NBA, I got to ask you one question. You know, watching the games this weekend, a lot of really good games, you know, basketball-wise, you know, we could talk for hours about basketball-wise. But I think this is something of note that's very interesting that's not getting a lot. It's getting some, you know, run and some pub, but it's not getting a lot. But I got to ask you, being the resident LeBron defender that you are.
Whoa.
I tried to sneak it in. Background, Anthony is not a LeBron apologist. Okay, so is cold takes exposed. Is LeBron choosing not to make a statement? Because if you're not aware, I know you're aware, but if the listeners aren't aware, everybody, instead of putting their last name on the back of their jersey, is making, can put one of like probably 20, I would say 20 or 30 NBA approved messages. LeBron, who is very active in the social justice, one of his greatest strengths, and he's very, you got to commend him on it, very active with social justice and making a stand, chose not to put a name or one of the NBA approved things. Is this LeBron being self-centered and he's always got to be in the middle of the story? Everybody does one thing, he's got to do the other thing. Or is this him making a play or a stand or bringing more attention to the cause rather than himself? I want your opinion.
Well, let's see. You had LeBron James, Anthony Davis, both on the Lakers right off the top of my head that are not going with any sort of message. You had Jimmy Butler wanted to go with a nameless jersey because, you know, his whole take on it was like, look, you know, if I wasn't an NBA player, I'm just another African-American in society. I'm just a black man in America. So I like Jimmy Butler.
And that's his stance. Yeah. I love Jimmy Butler, but is this egotistical, self-centered about LeBron, or is this a legitimate protest he's making because he didn't want the NBA-approved message on his back? He wanted to choose.
Oh, if I had to choose, I would choose the latter. I truly would.
Really?
Yeah. And I
even as the LeBron critic that you are.
Yeah, and because, well, here's the thing, and if we're going to go down this route, I guess we will. I don't really... You know, I'm watching one of the games and somebody had education reform. I think it was maybe Marcus Morris had education reform on the back of his jersey. And yes, when he was running down the court, I'm like, education reform, like, that's interesting. Like, I wonder, okay, how would we reform the education system? Would we not necessarily tie tax dollars to the district? And that goes all the way back to redlining. So therefore, people really got to educate themselves on, you know, the what that term is and how, you know, society decided that, you know what, no, we're basically going to make neighborhoods that we're just going to separate African Americans from everybody else, the Jim Crow laws and this, that, and the third. So when you start to tie tax dollars and how that operates to these education options. Okay, so I'm thinking about all that, right? The game is going on. The game is going on. And I'm like, dude, what are you, like, what? It's been three possessions. And all I'm thinking about here is, well, how would you fund a school without tax dollars? And how do you do it So like would every school pay the same as like the education system going communist, which I'm fine with that. If they do, I'm not a teacher. What does it matter to me? But then again, what was the school? I'm not teaching in a scenario like Dangerous Minds. If you remember that movie from the mid-90s,
yeah.
A little bit of a throwback. Yeah. You know, I'm glad that I can watch Dante DiVincenzo play with equality on the back of his jersey, just so I don't have to look at DiVincenzo and relive my Michigan nightmares of that guy coming off the bench and getting us for 30. You know what I mean? So
30 off the bench,
off
the
bench,
the 90 in the national championship game, race
off
the 90
bench.
Of the game,
off the bench.
So to your point, what you were talking about with Marcus Morris, I think that's a really good point because it does get people thinking, right? It got you thinking. It got me thinking. And I think that's the whole purpose. And in the meantime, the NCAA is doing something great. And the NABC, I think, which is the National Association of Basketball Coaches, if people don't know, are really pushing legislation to get rid of the standardized test requirements to be eligible with NCAA. And some people might not realize the significance, and to explain it is basically that is not a prejudice, but it's tougher for low socioeconomic students in public schools to succeed in the standardized testing because of funding, because of resources and everything that has in low socioeconomic districts. Now you look at it, that same student could be really motivated in class and could work really hard, get a 3.5, 3.6, 4.0, and then get a bad score on the standardized test. And in the past, the NCAA has punished that student for that because it's a sliding scale. You got to have both. So I think that's a great step. And, you know, it just triggered my mind when you talked about it with Marcus Morris and school reform on the back of his jersey. I think that's a great step personally because, you know, it's not the fault of the student. GPA reflects how hard you can work in school to succeed good grades. The standardized test reflects how good of teachers you had, even if you were the brightest kid in class or not the brightest kid in class. That's what that reflects.
Yeah, and then you think about it. So I came from an upper middle class family, and I'm not ashamed to say that by any stretch of the imagination, but I never had to worry about where my next meal was coming from. And some of the situations a lot of young people come from, it wasn't their choice. Like they would have definitely chosen to have my shoes versus theirs, you know, and I wouldn't have wanted to walk in their shoes. And that's something I think that we have to be legitimately aware of. When we talk about a lot of the issues at the heart of this country, and you can't just turn a blind eye and say, well, it doesn't affect me, so what do I care? But in the grand scheme of things, it might not affect you, but it might affect your children, because we need to do a better job of taking care of one another. Because, you know, if you do well on the standardized tests or if the standardized test is out, you know, I had an opportunity to take a class to prepare me for that. But that cost money. That could be money that it's $65 for the test prep that another family doesn't have. So I think that's a great point you raise, Kyle. And my friend, we're up against the break. I'll tell you what, that's the fastest segment in sports right there. We got a lot more to talk about next week as well. So thank you very much for your time tonight, man. I greatly appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Quiet strength. It is informational and pragmatic. It is compassionate, determined, relentless, and giving. Quiet strength comes from the heart, and it also comes from the brain. Wanting to do the right thing is noble, but discovering how to do the right thing is impactful and lasting. The rehabilitation of traumatic brain injury is what we do at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor. The knowledge, the expertise, the innovation, they come from the brain. Dedicating our lives to the lives of those affected by TBI is also what we do at the Eisenhower Center. The compassion, the respect, the concern, they come from the heart. Our goal is to share our quiet strength with you.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at eisenhowercenter.com.
It's easier than ever to save, and then save some more at Meijer. Look for new signs across the store to check off your list for less. Blue signs show new permanent price drops on everyday favorites like Meijer shredded cheese. Or look for red sale signs. You'll find hot, limited-time prices like family pack boneless skinless chicken breasts, only $1.88 per pound. With all new low prices, weekly sales, and more at Meijer, how low can your price go? Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort. Now, they're located in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, which is less than an hour north of GR, a couple hours from Detroit, maybe an hour and a half if you're coming down from Traverse City. It's accessible to everybody listening right now, and it's one of America's top public golf resorts. They offer two 18-hole layouts, Tullymore and St. Ives. They have fantastic stay-and-play packages like the Sizzle and Summer deal that includes a prime rib dinner. Go to TullymoreGolf.com, book that stay-and-play package, mention the Huge Show, and you could save at TullymoreGolf.com. Also, check out the Lodge. It holds 24 people if you want to have the ultimate stay-and-play getaway when it comes to golf and also after your round. They offer fine dining to great sandwiches and more. See it for yourself at TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com, the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan.
These days, we all agree we need to stay safe, and your local Auto Value Parts stores want to help. That's why we now offer same-day curbside pickup on thousands of in-stock parts. All you need to do is place your order at MyAutoValueStore.com. That's MyAutoValueStore.com. Then call the store when you arrive, and one of our team members will bring the order right out to your vehicle. It's that easy. Shop local. Shop Michigan-based Auto Value and support your friends and neighbors. Auto Value. Service is the difference. We get it.